She turned, saw Shigar standing there, freshly kitted out in the Jedi version of uniform and armor. Browns and blacks, mainly, with loose folds of cloth hiding compact armor plating.
"That is Loren, isn't it?"
he added with a sudden frown.
"Yes,"
she said, snapping out of her daze. She tugged the helmet off with her left hand, which, as Shigar pointed out, now had individual digits. The new prosthetic wasn't permanent. It was just a step up from the crude paddle Ula had found on the Auriga fire. But it could hold the stock of a rifle while her right hand pulled the trigger. It could type digits into a keypad. It could point.
"It'll do,"
she said, feigning nonchalance. He came deeper into the room, so they were standing an arm's length apart.
"We're breaking orbit in 10 minutes. I wanted to say good luck."
Her stomach roiled. She had plans to go over, equipment to check, troops to address, and the jump itself waiting at the end of all that. She hadn't dived from orbit since basic training. Only crazy people did it by choice. So many things could go wrong. She was acutely aware that this could be the last time they ever saw each other.
"Who needs luck?" she said. "You've got the Force on your side. And I have lots of blasters."
He smiled.
"Does nothing faze you?"
"Not officially. Just
plasma spiders.
Oh, and the smell of Wraith and crackers for some reason."
His smile broadened.
"Good for you. Frankly, I'm terrified."
Her stomach rolled as though it were in free fall.
"Actually," she said, "this kind of thing makes me a little nervous."
She leaned closer to him, moving quickly so she wouldn't change her mind, and kissed him on the lips. He pulled away with a shocked look on his face.
"Loren, oh, I'm sorry. I don't...
No,"
she said, face burning. "I don't think of you that way," he'd clearly been about to say. They were words she didn't want to hear.
"Don't apologize. I'm sorry.
It was my mistake. I thought..."
She stopped. They were talking on top of each other, and his face was as red as hers. She was suddenly afraid to move, to do or say anything lest it be utterly misconstrued. Where had the natural banter between them gone? What had happened to the connection she'd been sure was there? If she was sure of one thing now, it was that prolonging the awkwardness guaranteed nothing but more of the same.
"I guess this is goodbye," she said.
"For now.
Good luck to you too, Shigar."
"Thank you,"
he said. And although she couldn't look at him, she knew he was looking hard at her.
"Thank you, Loren, of Clan Moxla."
Then he was gone, leaving nothing but his smell behind. She pressed her face into her hands.
"Flack, flack, flack, flack!"
"What's wrong?"
asked an entirely new voice from the doorway. It was Hetchkey. She blinked up at him and tried to focus on something other than what an idiot she felt like.
"Nothing. Just getting myself in the mood."
"Our platoons are assembled. What am I going to tell them?"
He was as scared as she was.
"Nothing but the truth,"
she told him.
"That you'll kick them in the cargo hold if they make us look bad."
She scooped up her helmet and followed him to the briefing rooms. Hetchkey's was first in line. With a deep breath of his unique atmospheric mix, he plunged inside. Loren's was third along, and she had barely enough time to compose herself before getting there. She was a lieutenant in charge of a vital mission, she reminded